We've been talking about questions at First Baptist Greensboro throughout this Lenten season, and life is full of them, and faith is full of questions too. The great American author Gertrude Stein was nearing the end of her life, and lying in her bed, she turned to her longtime partner, the writer Alice Toklas, and she said, "Alice, what are the answers?" But Alice Toklas didn't know what to say, and so Gertrude Stein, after a moment, said, "Well, in that case, what are the questions?" Faith is not only about the answers we give, it's also about the questions that we ask. It's not only about all the assurance that we accumulate, it's also about all of the wondering that we encounter. And the Bible bears this out. The Bible is full of questions, questions that capture so much of the range of human experience before God, like the one that we hear this morning from the middle of the storm. It's the voice of Jesus that asks, "Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid?" This morning's gospel passage takes us to the water, which is where you end up if you hang around Jesus for long enough. From the river of his baptism to the lake shore, where he calls out to his disciples to follow, to the sea that they rapidly crisscross together, where sometimes it is known to gust and to storm, like it does in our reading today. The story appears in all four gospels. It's so important that no story of the good news of Jesus Christ would be complete without this episode. And in Mark, it's one of several of these sea-crossing stories as Jesus moves back and forth rapidly from place to place, trying to get to those who need him. He says, "Let us go over to the other side," at the beginning of the passage. Let's do that once more. Let's find those over there, like the demoniac they will encounter, that need us. And so these crossings throughout the gospel, these moments on the water, they become critical, defining moments for the disciples. They become moments where the disciples have the chance to demonstrate their faith. But instead of that, spoiler alert, it's often that the disciples act mostly out of their fear, out of their uncertainty. They demonstrate so often that they long for the shore with all of its stability. They long for that ground where they can stand up straight, where they can plant their feet, where they can enjoy the view, where they can admire all of the water, but keep a safe distance from it, can recoil from it when it makes them feel uncertain and vulnerable. They long for calm, for stillness, which is what most any of us want. I think that's why, from the very beginning, the Christian church has embraced this passage and all of its imagery. In early writing and art in the Christian faith, the ship was seen as a metaphor for the church. The Latin word for boat is nave, which is the word in some church traditions for the central part of a church building. When you are in that central part of the church, you are in some sense in the boat together. And that's where the furious storm arises for these disciples, and the waves begin to break over the side of the boat, begin to overwhelm it. And they say to the sleeping Jesus, "Don't you care about this?" And he wakes up, and he brings the peace that they so want. But then he turns to them with the question of the day, "Why are you afraid?" It can almost sound like a dismissive question. After all, Jesus knows that they're afraid. Jesus knows that we're afraid. We know fear. Fear is what fills up our world. Fear is what we read about. Fear is often what we pray about if we are people who pray. And if we don't pray, fear might be what keeps us from opening our mouths, from lifting our heads, from believing that any of it makes much of a difference at all. We know fear. We know fear amidst our current crisis. We know the winds whipping, the water rising, the uncertainty breaking over the rims of our lives. We know what it's like for the view of what's next to be obscured like a nighttime on the sea. We can't yet see the other side to which Jesus is leading us. At the same time, our global healthcare crisis reminds us of so many others who are already living in an overwhelming fear. A crisis is a concentrated way of telling you who you are, and we have been reminded in this moment of our failures to care for the most vulnerable among us, to ensure the health of those last and least by the standards of this world. We've been reminded of how poverty is a storm before the storm, a crisis before the crisis. And yet so many of us can't see until the waves are rising all around us and it's seeping in to our boat. Yes, we know fear. Fear is what so often keeps us on the shore, stable, feet planted, view clear, ground firm. "Why are you afraid?" he asks. And we want to shout back, as those disciples must have, "What do you mean? Why are we afraid?" "Because we're floating in. It's all around us. You can see it too, Jesus. And we want him to take it all away, to lead us fully to the other side, to calm the waters, to still the storm. But what if this morning we could hear this question, less as some sort of dismissal of our fears, and more as an acknowledgement of them. Less as some sort of caustic reprimand telling us to keep calm, and more as a compassionate promise to us of peace, even right in the midst of our storms. We pray for peace. We've done so today, but so often we pray for peace and seek peace when what we really want is simple calm or dismissal of fear. We pray for peace, but so often what we're longing for is a kind of catharsis, some sort of release from the troubles that we know, some sort of cleansing of emotion that can help us feel renewed, but not necessarily change that much. We pray for peace in the storm, but so often what we want is nostalgia. We want a simpler place, a simpler time. We pray for peace, try to exhibit a non-anxious presence, but so often what we mean is that we just want to avoid the conflict and the crisis around us. But Jesus' question, "Why are you afraid?" It is not a dismissal of our fears. It is an awareness of them. It is not so much a charge to calm ourselves as much as it is a promise that we can remember the one who is with us as we cross to the other side. Because Jesus himself, he knew fear. He probably asked himself from time to time, "Why are you afraid?" Jesus himself had storms that he could not calm, had waves that he could not still. Many of you know in recent weeks here in the community of First Baptist and in our wider Baptist community, and many of us have been grieving the death of theologian Frank Tupper, who was a great Baptist theologian, a professor at Southern Seminary, and then the Wake Forest University Divinity School, where I took his course in Christian theology. And he himself knew the great storms that this life can bring, most especially in the tragic, far too early death of his wife, Betty, in the 80s, when he still had two young children at home. In one of his most well-known sermons, preached in the 80s, right after the death of his wife, Betty, Dr. Tupper preached on this passage. He preached on Jesus bringing peace amidst the disciples' storm. And then he acknowledged the storm of his own life, his own grief, his own wonderings and questions and doubts about God's presence with him. And then he told of how even Jesus had those storms, those questions, those doubts that he could not still, as the threats imposed on him, as the fear rose all around him and threatened to wash him away, he prayed in the garden. And Dr. Tupper said, "When I feel too empty to believe, when I'm overwhelmed by my fear, by my anxiety, by my uncertainty, well, then I go to that corner in Gethsemane, and I stand next to Jesus, and I let Jesus believe for me. Because any storm that Jesus cannot still, he yet promises to see us through. Do not be afraid, This is the command at the heart of our scripture because fear is at the center of our lives. It doesn't dissipate with the waves. It doesn't disappear with the peace that rises about us. These words are a hallmark of the gospel. They are the words, for instance, with which the angel Gabriel greets Mary in the quiet of her home. Why are you afraid, Mary? Be not afraid. These words echo from the heavenly host across a field of sheep to the shepherds as they keep watch by night. Why are you so afraid? Be not afraid. And perhaps most importantly, these are the words that the angel of the Lord uses when encountering the women who have brought spices, looking for Jesus in the tomb, wondering if it's all over, asking themselves whether he can keep his promise and make it back to them. Why are you afraid? The angel asks. Do not be afraid. Maybe we hear it so often that we trivialize that message as though faith and following Jesus mean the absence of all fear, when in truth, whenever we are questioning like these disciples, whenever we are wondering like those women at the tomb, whenever we are uncertain like Mary, whenever we are startled like shepherds in a field, whenever we are trembling, whenever we are worried, whenever we are anxious about what is ahead, it might be precisely because we are people of faith who are seeking to give our all to a call far greater than ourselves. We are afraid, and disciples often are. Notice this is not the last time that these disciples cross these waters, always back and forth, always trying to get to those who need Jesus. And so later in the Gospels, they're crossing once again, only this time, Jesus is not in the boat. And so their fear rises, but amidst that, he comes to them. He finds them. He promises to see them through to the other side. And do you remember what he says? It is I, he says, as he draws near. Be not afraid.